While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hackenberg takes it back to pass. Pocket delivers. Far corner. Touchdown, Penn State, Chris Godwin. Lynch again. Lynch, 45. Cuts to his left. 40. 35. 30. Swings to the near side. 25. 20. James in front to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Penn State. The Nittany Lions take the lead on a 47-yard touchdown run by Akeel Lynch.
That's all we have? All right.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. I've got a game tomorrow. I don't even know what time the game starts. It was supposed to be 7:30. But for some reason, and I don't know who planned this out. Obviously, somebody doesn't know basketball. They scheduled the Lady Lions at 5:30 in the afternoon.
And now, correct me if I'm wrong.
And the men's game was scheduled at 7:30.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Correct me if I'm wrong, okay. But it's a minimum 2 hours for a game, right?
Yes, right. It's like, okay, who came up with it? Who sat in a meeting and said, this will work? No, it doesn't work that way. I mean, I've got 950 of these things under my belt. It doesn't work this way. Now, I'm no expert. I mean, I'm not experts like you guys are. So they pushed it back to 8. Now they're talking about maybe 8:30 tomorrow night. I don't know.
Okay, so we actually, you're right, because as a member of the network, I usually get the emails regarding when the start time is, and I have had no change in the start time. So I'm wondering, do you and Dick Girardi have the opportunity or maybe the race form handy that you could go over that in the pregame possibly to stretch?
We have the talk show with James, and James Franklin is doing the show tomorrow, by the way.
Right.
He's already told me.
Oh, that's right. That's from 6:05 to 7.
Yeah. So we have to do that first. So the original was 7:30. We're going to be on at 7, stretch, and so forth. Well, they want to push it back. And let me just see here. Let's see.
I thought the last I saw was 7:30.
But see. By the way, if you haven't heard, tomorrow's start time for hoops is going to be either 8 or 8:30. We're waiting on ESPN.
Now, when you say start time, you're talking about tip-off, correct?
Tip-off. That means that airtime is either going to be 7:30 or 8. We're waiting on ESPN to tell us.
Right. And the last information that we have from Learfield Sports is that it's a 7:30 airtime. So that gives you a half an hour to get up the hill.
Well, that's not an issue. That doesn't matter. For me, it's not. It's up in, we're in. I don't really, that's no big deal. But let me put it this way. The information I gave you is the most accurate.
I don't doubt that.
So that's where we are. Then, of course, we're at Bucknell Friday, 4 o'clock, 3:30 our time. And, of course, you can listen to Doug on Eagle 107. And then, of course, football Saturday at 3:30 will be on at 2. That one we do know. So that's my week in a nutshell. And once again, the Kevin Herr Thanksgiving Appreciation Hotline is open. Also, in order to increase calls, we can also pretend that we're the Butterball Hotline. Give us a call now, and any call we'll put down as a thank Kevin phone call, even though we'll be talking turkey.
Do you know anything about how to baste the turkey or anything like that? Because I may have to like go to you for that. I mean, I know how to buy one that's already cooked and everything like that. I'm good to go there.
I know how to order it in a restaurant. All right, let's get to Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. There are great philosophers in our lifetime. Plato, Aristotle, Aaron Rodgers, who told everybody to relax. You just did an article, Ben, about Penn State football and where they are compared to other teams in the Big Ten despite sanctions.
Well, I mean, you're exactly right. I think looking at how Penn State has done compared to the rest of the conference, you really get sort of a perspective on how well things have gone for Penn State. Really, the only teams that have done better in terms of win totals and losing fewer games than Penn State have are, you know, Ohio State, Michigan State, Nebraska, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, who's largely done that through a successful year this year. So for the fact that Penn State's gone 21-14 since 2012 and really has been just below the top level of the conference in terms of how many wins they've picked up over that span, you know, really says a lot about this program's ability to still win games, even though, you know, there's just sort of insurmountable odds at times. And certainly, you know, maybe this isn't the Penn State football that people are used to in terms of tradition and what have you and the kind of product that they're seeing on the field. But I think if you look at this, all of these years is really part of a process moving forward, getting the program back to where it was. I don't know how you can look at the past few years as a whole and really feel like it could have gone any better. Certainly, you know, Franklin and his assistants aren't above criticism and things that they can control within the game, but I think ultimately you look at all of this and go, you know, I don't think it could have gone better.
Yeah, when you look at the full body of work, I'm not sure, Ben, it's just my personal opinion, you can take it wherever you wish here. I'm not sure there's more than maybe 7 or 8 programs nationally that could have been put in this spot and survived it the way this program has.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Penn State was fortunate that it had talent in the right places, because I think, you know, I was listening to you guys talk earlier that, you know, people say, oh, well, you should bench Christian Hackenberg or what have you, but if you can't feel like Penn State's better off with any of the guys that he has than Hackenberg. And really, Hackenberg is one guy that if he doesn't commit to Penn State or if he doesn't come to Penn State, you know, a lot of these wins that they picked up, you know, maybe they don't have if they have to rely on someone else. And you have a couple guys across the roster that feel out that way, that, you know, that stayed committed and came to Penn State. You know, they're fortunate to have the talent where they have it, even with the depth issues that they have. And I think that's a lot to do with what the kind of program that Penn State is and kind of program Penn State wants to do before this all happened. Because, like you said, now I can't imagine that this happens to Purdue and they end up with the players, you know, and the skill in the right areas enough to come out of the other side more or less a similar program as they were beforehand. So I think definitely you have to be the right kind of program before all of this happens to be able to get through it and come out more or less the same.
So here they are going into this is game 11. Is it when you look at James Franklin and his staff, and by the way, his first season, this is exactly the same record I think that he had at the same stage as first season at Vanderbilt. When you look at where the evaluation of a coaching staff should be, should you evaluate the coaching staff after game 11 or in the fourth year?
I think it has to be in the fourth year or some non-specific time in the future. I mean, I think, you know, you and I have both seen guys, you know, like Patrick Chambers on the basketball side, where progress is not always the most evident when it comes to wins and losses, and even in hockey where they're trying to get to these certain objectives, and if they win, that's a good thing. I think to try and evaluate a program and a coaching staff through 11 games when a lot of the obstacles haven't changed and a lot of the problems are really out of their control, I think that's just short-sighted. I think you have to give these guys time to get the kind of players that they want, to be able to work with the players that they have. You have to remember, you know, Bill O'Brien, for as much as everyone liked him and for as football heady as he was, you know, he admitted that he really didn't understand or fully appreciate all of the things that he had on his rosters in terms of skill sets and what these kids are able to do until his second year. They didn't expect Franklin to come into a situation that was always going to be probably the hardest year of the sanctions, you know, meet all of these kids, figure out how to use them the best, and then go out and win with whatever he had. I mean, I just don't think that's reasonable. Certainly, you know, there's calls here or there that, you know, maybe they'd like to have back, but I don't know that there's a coach in the country that doesn't want to have a call or two back, and certainly, you know, that comes with the territory. But I can't evaluate them outside of, you know, what you see and what you know they can do, you know, at least for another year or two.
Every coach desires his own roster balance. Joe Paterno had his roster balance. Bill O'Brien's roster balance was a little bit different. James Franklin has his own roster balance. Give me the importance of giving him time to establish what that roster balance is.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely important because you're going to get guys and sort of positions filled out in ways that you'd like to. I know that when John Butler was working with the defense, you know, they talk a lot about getting certain types of players in certain types of areas on the defensive side of the ball that they didn't have, and they were trying to work around that. And I think, you know, when you find balance on a roster, you know, it's going to go towards the sorts of things that you want to try and do philosophically as a football team. And it takes time to sort of find those guys and really get them on the team and get them into a position where they're able to make plays for you.
All right, so now moving forward, Michigan State. How anxious are you to see Michigan State and Mark D'Antonio? Because they've done certainly some great things the way they've gone about their business the last couple of years. They really gave the Big Ten at least something to brag about last year by winning the Rose Bowl, beating Stanford. But it's also a team Penn State hasn't played since 2011.
Yeah, I do think it's going to be interesting because, you know, I always felt that Penn State would have had a better chance to win this game had Michigan State lost to Ohio State, and they did. And then Michigan State comes out against Maryland and Rutgers, who certainly aren't the best teams in the Big Ten, but Michigan State did to them what they've done to everyone else that they have faced. So I think, you know, Michigan State looks like a team that is, you know, certainly maybe hunting after something else now, but certainly just as deadly on both sides of the ball, really. And I think the fact that Penn State hasn't, you know, faced Michigan State in a few years makes it a sort of an intriguing matchup to see how these programs fare. You know, certainly, you know, I have a hard time picking Penn State to win this one, but at the same time, you know, everyone said that and even more against Ohio State, and that certainly was almost there to be had. So, you know, it's definitely going to be interesting, especially since the last time Penn State saw Michigan State, they were much different kind of program in terms of the success they're having on the field.
I know that I felt that Michigan State was the best team in the conference in April. I said it back in August, and I said that during the season. Then Ohio State walked in and absolutely proved me wrong. Still a pretty good football team, though.
Oh, absolutely, and I felt the exact same way. I thought, you know, Ohio State has really, you know, they've been able to outscore teams, and their defense has done well enough to slow down the rest of the Big Ten, and I've always felt that, you know, if Ohio State faced a good defense, which they have, and Michigan State and Penn State, that if you could score on them, then you had a chance to win, and I think Ohio State made winning plays in times that they had to do that, and that's a sign of a good football team, especially when you play Michigan State defense that's probably, you know, one of the best in the country, but maybe not as good as it was last year.
Ben, thanks so much. Appreciate the time very much.
Happy, thanks for having me.
By the way, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, okay?
You too. I appreciate it. Take care.
Thanks.
That is Ben Jones, StayCollege.com. A little bit later, Dave Bryan, SteelersDepot.com. That's right, Cavs. We got to get your Steeler fix in today, even though it was a bye week.
I enjoyed the bye week. I got a lot of stuff done.
You put your lights up?
Yeah, it was 50 degrees. It was actually 60 degrees in my house, so I used your theory, and it worked out really well, and I was nice and toasty warm for the first time all weekend.
And you put up your tree?
Yeah, I figured since I had everything out, I might as well go the whole nine yards.
Wow. And to think a first down's 10. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right. Welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Again, the Thank Kevin hotline open. We'll also take maybe if you have questions about stuffing, 800-795-9565. By the way, a little baseball news for you. As the Phillies continue to do nothing, the Red Sox have signed Hanley Ramirez and Pablo Sandoval.
Is the Sandoval thing a done deal now? Because I heard it was done. It was pending.
Done.
I just, you know, I would have been excited just to be able to say Pablo Sandoval all the time.
I mean, all I know is there are a bunch of people in Boston right now buying panda heads. How about that?
All of a sudden, it became a hot item on the Black Friday shopping list.
I don't think there's a discount on those.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, the Phillies have done nothing, which is really not a big surprise. I mean, I know Cole Hamels is the one that everybody talks about as being possible, and there's like seven different places that are being talked about.
Yeah, here's one for you. Boston may be one of those places Yoenis Cespedes is going to be on the market. I would think the Red Sox, the way they're going to play it now, will be Napoli at first, Pedroia at second, probably Bogarts at short, Sandoval at third. Hanley Ramirez will play in the outfield, not at shortstop. They also, remember, signed the young Cuban player Castillo, who's probably going to be their center fielder. Alan Craig. They'll probably go with the Vasquez kid behind the plate. The Red Sox have their closer in Uehara. He's already re-signed his contract and re-upped. Now the question is, who's going to be the starting pitching for the Red Sox, you know, after Clay Buchholz and maybe a couple other guys that can fill in? They need two more starting pitchers.
Well, the problem,
they also need a frontline ace, and Cole Hamels is that guy.
Well, is Hamels on the okay to trade list? Boston on his okay to trade list?
Yep.
I know there's only a few teams. I mean,
yes.
There's only like five or something like that. It's a ridiculously small number.
Yes. They're on the list. I would take this package. I would take Cespedes, Mookie Betts. You can have Jackie Bradley. I'll include him in any trade. So
thanks.
Let him be your problem. Mookie Betts, Jackie Bradley, Cespedes, Alan Webster, and thanks for really putting this into a real garage sale here.
why do I not feel like the Phillies are getting into deal here?
And Will Middlebrooks. Okay.
Wow, I'm excited about that one.
Well, I mean, this is what the Phillies would get. You'd get a true power hitter in Cespedes who can drive in runs, and he would thrive in that ballpark. I mean, he would be the centerpiece of the trade, and he's, you know, remember, the Phillies would be dumping salary here. Middlebrooks would have to play third base, who has tremendous potential, Kevin, but gets hurt too often and has not been able to meet that potential. Betts they love. He flies like the wind. There was a lot of talk that they wanted to do, you know, that they were going to build some things around him. Jackie Bradley is a guy of tremendous, tremendous potential, but potential's a fancy way of saying you've never done it before. Defensively, he's met that potential. Defensively, Jackie Bradley runs down virtually everything and has an excellent arm. Offensively, he is 180 of where he is defensively. And who else did I throw in that trade? Webster, yeah. You need a starting pitcher, so just take him.
Well, you mentioned the third baseman and getting injured a lot. Right now, that might be a better option, though, than Cody Ashe.
Right. I'm just saying, Middlebrooks does have great... I mean, those are the five players I throw out there and see if they take the bait. You would be getting a true power hitter in Cespedes. You would be getting a guy with great potential in Middlebrooks, but if he can stay away from injuries, he could really, I think, has a chance to thrive. Betts has great upside. Bradley, they thought had great upside, but has never met it, and you've got to have a pitcher in there if you're gonna deal a pitcher. It would then take $5 billion in salary off the Phillies' hands and give them players. The Phillies need players, too. They need players.
Right, but here's the big
problem.
And
that's part of it. And look, hey, my garage sale is your treasure.
Here's the problem, though. If you keep Cole Hamels, where does Cole Hamels fit in a 3 to 4 year plan? Let's say he stays healthy. If you're looking at a 4 year plan, he is on. You have to think that he would be on the downside of his career at that point, and maybe okay for a year or two, but that's about it.
I agree. Now in Boston, he'd be the number one guy.
Sure, he would
be. He would be the game seven guy, hand him the ball, and he's going to give me the best chance of anybody out there to win game seven. But that's all you can ask.
Let me put it this way.
The difference between big game James Shields and Cole Hamels is Cole Hamels has actually won big games.
Hey, listen, if you're going to put together, if the Phillies are truly, and Ruben Amaro has said this time and time again, but I haven't bought into it yet, if they're truly going to be rebuilding in 3 to 4 years, and that's the target date, I don't see Cole Hamels as being part of that.
Betts, Bradley, and Middlebrooks, and Webster are four young players that have all played in the major leagues. And Cespedes, while not being a star, would be in that next level. He would be to Ryan Howard what Hunter Pence was.
You always have to bring up Hunter Pence, don't you?
But Pence is the perfect number five hitter who protects your four hitter.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, got to go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Greetings, Mark Lawrence from WKOK's live telephone talk show On the Mark. If you've been listening lately,
would you want it going through your backyard?
Am I worried about the environmental impact in my backyard? No. It's more of a look question to me. Quite honestly, what's in it for me?
And on the next WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show On the Mark, Kevin Hurd, Joe McGranahan, and me in Studio A for a raucous Tuesday open phones session. It's OTM 830 to 10 on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Can you play that back?
What, Lawrence?
Yeah.
I'll have to find it. It's not as simple as just playing it back.
Oh, for goodness sakes, it's a computer. Look it up and play it.
Well, it's not like I can do it in an instant.
Well, it does give me an opportunity to tell everyone we're brought to you today by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Make sure you're fully insured. Make sure you are fully insured. Auto, home, business insurance. Just make sure that you're taken care of, because you know what? You never know when something's going to happen. And you want to work with great professionals that care about you. They care more about you just being a customer. They care about you. That's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdys are just incredible people to be around, work with, be with. And send your business too. We're also brought to you by our good friends, Sunbury Motors. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
All right. Is this what the one you were talking about here?
Would you want it going through your backyard?
Am I worried about the environmental impact in my backyard? No. It's more of a look question to me. Quite honestly, what's in it for me?
Okay, stop right there. Yes. Yes. There are great philosophers in the world. Aristotle, Plato, Aaron Rodgers, and Kevin Herr. What's in it for me?
Well, if you're going to put a pipeline through my backyard.
Welcome to the theory that people, what's in it for me?
I'm all for, you can put a pipeline in my backyard all you want. Just give me some cash to do it. You're done. It's a done deal.
What's in it for me? Actually, I was in Nebraska when they were debating this. We were talking about the Keystone Pipeline. And it's interesting. I mean, there's some farmers out there, and we're talking acres and acres of rich farmland, that they don't want the pipeline going through it. Well, to me, it's your property, and if you don't want it going through it, don't. Now, that's a good reason. Telling me the caribou graze over there, you know, you'd be amazed. If you put it there, the caribou will go there. You'd be shocked how they adapt. There's nothing there.
What was it with the Alaskan? What was it, the Alaskan pipeline? They were worried about the moose. The moose don't seem to worry about it too much. They hang out by it.
Well, the moose is like, the moose are sitting there going, it's pretty warm here. This is all right. You know how many times they filmed that polar bear and that ice thing floating?
No.
Yeah, you ever hear the backstory of that?
I don't think I did, no.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, look, what was it down to? 14 degrees last week?
It was 11 in Johnstown.
It was 11 in Johnstown. Thank goodness for global warming. It would have been 20 below zero. All right.
I was thinking that the entire time I'm looking at the snow on the sidelines.
Oh, how much snow are we getting in the valley? 6 inches?
Six to 10 inches right now before it's all said and done later in the day Wednesday, according to AccuWeather. And I looked at the AccuWeather radar maps and the forecast maps and the precipitation maps, and yeah, it looks like that.
I know they're talking here about 3 to 4, which, by the way, is up from the 1 from yesterday. It's heading in an interesting direction. It's heading upward.
It still ain't 7 feet, all right? That's all I have to say right there.
Did you see that they were... I mentioned this last week. They had to play that Bills game. It's going to be played in Detroit tonight. The Bills-Jets game. They had to play in Beaver Stadium. Guess what? Terry suggested it. You know that?
Well, he had a great deal going on, too. What was the...
No, Terry suggested playing it in Beaver Stadium.
Oh, really? Playing it? Oh, I didn't realize they said playing in Beaver Stadium. I was going to say, the Buffalo Bills had a great deal where you could get a couple of tickets and $10 an hour.
Yeah, well, that was to shovel the place out. The tickets in Detroit are free, and it's sold out. I mean, sold out in parentheses, obviously.
You know, that's funny, because somebody said to me on Friday night, they said, you know, did you hear the Buffalo game got moved? And I said, yeah, they'll play it in Detroit. And he said, boy, is anybody going to show up to that game? And I said, I'll bet you those tickets are free, and they won't have an empty seat.
And, you know, here's what's interesting about that. Remember when the Mariners were playing in the Kingdome, and its ceiling tiles came down? And they said, you know what, we don't think this place is safe to play. We're going to have to redo the roof and the whole deal. Of course, eventually they just built an entire new ballpark, Safeco, which I'm told is gorgeous. They had to take the Mariners for the last, I think it was 2 months of the season, and play all their games on the road. So what teams did is they set a flat rate, I think it was $20 or something like that, you know, for every seat in the park and open seating. In other words, if you were a season ticket holder at Fenway Park and you always sit on the first base side, row 10, seats 8 and 9, right? When the Mariners came in for what was supposed to be Seattle home games, those weren't your seats because you paid for 81 games. These were extra games. So it opened it up to anybody. And people, and they took the money, by the way, and donated it to charity. They didn't keep the money. I mean, every team took the money. They picked out a charity. Like the Red Sox took theirs and gave it to the Jimmy Fund for pediatric cancer research. And they just opened it up. I think it was $10. You pay $10, you get in the park. Any seat you want, open seating. So you go in, boom, you buy your tickets. You know, and of course, the tickets were in specific spots. I mean, they didn't just say it wasn't a free-for-all. Those games were heavily attended, and the players said it was the atmospheres were the best they played in front of all year. Why? Because people who have been aching to go to a ball game but don't have the means or don't have the season tickets or don't have the access suddenly could go. And the real fans that love it were there. It wasn't just the corporate. You know, we have, obviously, Tony Knopp on all the time talking about the corporate partners and so forth. These weren't just corporate tickets. Hey, it's our night to use. And those are great fans. But, you know, the everyday Joe that's got a few dollars scraping together in his pocket and was able to go to the game and, like, sit in the box seats. They weren't buried in the grandstand or the bleachers. They got to sit in the box seats, sit behind home plate, sit behind the dugout going, this is incredible. Who's got a camera? And the players said it was the best. And same thing, Wimbledon, they never play on Sunday. One year they had rain, backlog rain. This is before they built the enclosable roof. And so they had for the first time ever play on a Sunday. And they said, look, since no one has tickets to this thing, open seating. Players said it was the best atmosphere they ever played in front of. Enthusiasm, juice. It's great. So, yeah, it'll be sold out tonight, and it'll be a great crowd. They'll be into it because people are... I'll bet there are fathers, sons, and families going to that game tonight that have never gone to an NFL game. And it's going to be great for them. And it's going to be great for the NFL. We won't get a chance to see it because it's only going to be broadcast in Buffalo and in New York. Because, of course, Monday Night Football has exclusivity. Let's bring in Dave Bryant, SteelerDepot.com. The Monday night game is New Orleans night.
Actually, I don't have him on, quite on the line yet, Steve. I'm sorry, but I do have Joe from Greensburg. Joe from Greensburg, but I don't have him now.
Would you lose him? Oh.
I think okay. I did. Now I'll have to get Dave online, unless you have him there.
Well, no, I've got Dave. And Dave, you know, it was bye week last week for the Steelers. So Bahamas, Tahiti, everyone wants to know. What's the deal? All right, great to have Dave Bryan from SteelersDepot.com with us. Dave, first of all, let's start with the good part. Welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Steve, happy Columbus Day to you.
Happy Columbus Day to you, too.
Well, Steve, I was busy yelling at the TV during that Cleveland Browns last conference game at the end of it. No, I didn't go anywhere. The good thing about a bye week is I'm able to watch the game, most of the games live instead of watching most of them on game rewind. So that was the only difference.
So what did you see this weekend that interests you and piqued your interest?
Well, I tell you, I mean, even though the Falcons, you know, sort of, in my opinion, gave the Browns the game at the end there, the Browns are still hanging around. They're still getting it done, you know. And Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and Roddy White. I mean, that's, you know, that's a fairly potent offense mm-hmm. over there. So you know, I think the Browns, are legitimate for sure. I think the Bengals. I'm not sure what to think about the Bengals right now. You know, they had the game that they had a couple of weeks ago against the Browns, and then they come out and they win two road games against the Saints and the Texans. So the AFC still is wide open as far as the playoff picture goes, and especially, you know, when it comes to the wild card, because I think we can go ahead and it's safe to assume that the Patriots are going to be there, the Broncos are going to win their division, and the Colts are going to win their division. So outside of that, you know, where are our wild card teams going to come from? And I think, you know, you look at the Steelers' record right now coming out of the bye, they've got as good a chance as any, that's for sure.
Right. Does Green make that much of a difference for Cincinnati? I mean, getting him back?
Most definitely. I mean, that guy is tremendous. What do you have, 10 catches or something crazy yeah. like that the other day? And they also got the running back Geo back as well, too. So I think that has made a big difference in what they can do on offense in addition. So this is a team that I believe was out without linebacker Vontaze Burfict in that game.
Yes.
That you got to figure they're going to get him back at some point. And, you know, look, the Steelers have two games against the Bengals coming up here in their final five games. And not only will those games be important, but they've also got to play the Saints coming out of the bye. They got a Kansas City Chiefs team that really, you know, you don't know what you're going to get there either.
The Saints will play against the Ravens tonight. So how do you watch a game like this, Dave?
I watch it. I look at formation usage mostly, you know, especially if I'm able to watch a game live and not go through it, you know, on tape. That's the good thing about the Saints being the Steelers' next opponent is I'll be able to kind of make some notes as we go along. I want to see just how much they use 11 personnel, which is three wide receiver sets when in, you know, first down and long and second and long. My initial research, I've already started kind of pulling this up already. 33% of the time so far this season, they have used two or more tight ends. But most of those, I think I've counted a little over 70 or so of those instances. No, I'm sorry, 47 of those instances have come in situations where it's four or less yards to go for a first down. So, you know, look, I mean, there's no secret what the Saints like to do. They like to kind of spread teams out, and they like to, get Jimmy Graham out there and split them out wide as well, too. Another thing that I'll kind of watch tonight is, you know, they've got their running backs back healthy. I want to see how much outside zone they're able to run and how effective they're able to run it when they do use it, because, you know, that's something that's, troubled the Steelers' defense at times this season. So that and, of course, defensive side of the ball, you know, how healthy is Keenan Lewis over there right now, who's been playing great football for him. I know he's coming off of kind of like a calf or a bursa sack or some type of injury in his lower knee or leg there. And in addition, they had an injury at the safety position. Bush, I think, is out for the season now. Right. I want to see how they try to replace him at the free safety position in addition. So plenty to watch for tonight.
How close will you watch Drew Brees? Because he has not had what you call statistically a Drew Brees type of year.
You know, Drew Brees, I think we all know kind of what Drew Brees is and isn't at this point. I think at times he hasn't been great under pressure. Look, Brees knows what the Steelers defense, you know, he's faced them enough that he's probably going to know what to expect. I guess watch and see how he reacts under pressure. And, yeah, he struggled at times this year with throws, especially I remember watching the game against the Bengals a couple of weeks ago where he missed. So not one of the things that's going to be high on my list, because, you know, he's going to do what he's going to do against the Steelers regardless. So I just want to see how the rest of the offense kind of revolves around him.
All right. How do you think the Steelers, once they get around to this, you know, how do you handle a guy like Jimmy Graham? I mean, this is not a guy, for example, that I think you would feel comfortable, hey, let's jam him at the line of scrimmage. He's physically stronger than anybody the Steelers have. We'll just throw him out of the way.
Boy, he's a nightmare. I tell you, when you watch the film on him, you know, I kind of was talking on our podcast today, you know, the Steelers have had Cortez Allen benched for several weeks now. And it sounds like they're going to get Ike Taylor back this week from injury. Of course, Ike's been missed since week three with that busted forearm. So with him back, makes you wonder if it might be a great opportunity to try to get Cortez Allen back in the lineup. If you remember back to Cortez Allen's rookie season, in fact, I think the first game that he played in during his rookie season was against the New England Patriots. And, of course, at that time they had Rob Gronkowski. Well, if memory serves me, Cortez lined up against Gronkowski in the slot quite a bit in that game. And while he gave up something like, I want to say it was like four catches for 44 yards, something like that, he never gave up the big play to Gronkowski. So while Cortez normally has been playing outside, most of his career with the Steelers. I don't think it would be a bad idea to, being as Cortez is big and physical, to maybe to line him up in the slot. It would be a good welcome back game for Cortez, you know, kind of, you know, make his responsibility be Jimmy Graham in the slot there. So, a good question. If they don't go that route, I don't see how you can put Bryce McCain on him in the slot. Right. I really don't. If you put William Gay in the slot on Jimmy Graham, did that mean somebody else is going to have to play outside in the nickel? Is that going to be Bryce McCain? Is it going to be Antoine Blake? Is it going to be Cortez Allen? It's a matchup problem for sure, and I'll be interested to see how the Steelers try to combat it, because I don't think they can get it done with a safety, and I think their undersized corners, I think you're asking for a mismatch there as well, too.
Dave Bryan, SteelersDepot.com. Kevin, quite an encouraging report, don't you think?
Listen, I don't get excited or disappointed about anything when it comes to Steeler football anymore.
And with that, we take a break on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Kevin Herr Thanksgiving Week Appreciation Hotline continues to be open. Let's take this call. Okay, well, how about this one? No, Kev, this isn't going as well as I thought it would. I thought they'd be in droves.
That's okay. That's right.
I don't know. If I were in your shoes, I think I'd be saying that as a defense mechanism. Joe in Greensburg called, and if Joe wants to call back, great. My apologies, because we were going to Dave Bryan there. So, Joe, if you want to give us a call back, you know, we are open and ready for you if you want. Or if you want to save it till tomorrow, that's fine, too. I'm always happy to talk to everybody. 800-795-9565. It's 800-795-9565. So it looks like Sandoval, Hanley Ramirez, who goes back to the Red Sox, by the way. He was actually traded by the Red Sox along with Anibal Sanchez to the Marlins for Mike Lowell and Josh Beckett. The Red Sox don't win the 2007 World Series without Josh Beckett and Mike Lowell. Now they have Ramirez back. And you ever tell you the Mike Lowell story?
I don't think so. I don't remember that one.
My son, as everyone knows, my son has gone through extensive surgeries. And he is doing great, by the way. So that's no issue. He's doing great. All right. So, but he also had to spend, back in 2007, in the second of the series, and there were two others after this, in the second of the series, he had to spend about 8 weeks at Boston Children's Hospital. So I was doing games, then I go back on Sunday, come back Tuesday night, you know, I did this for a while. I felt I had to get Kathy out of the hospital when I would go there. So, like, one day I took her down to Cape Cod. Well, one day, 2007, I take her to the Burlington Mall. And so I'm at the Burlington Mall, and I'm standing there. You take the music down. Take the music down. Yeah, that way I can understand what I'm doing here. And I'm standing there, and there's one of those restaurants that has fish. You know what I'm talking about, right? Text that thing, Rainforest Cafe?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Yeah.
Right. So I'm standing there, and she goes up, and she's looking at the fish, and I'm just standing there, and all of a sudden this guy comes up, stands next to me, and his son goes running over. And I look over, and it's Mike Lowell. I said, how you doing? He says, good. He says, good luck in the playoffs. Hey, yeah, appreciate that. I said, you at Penn State? He says, yeah, I announced their games. Hey, good luck to you guys, too. Appreciate that. 3 weeks later is the World Series MVP. You can bring the music back up. This story time with Steve thing. We've been brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Tomorrow, the last day Kevin's here before Thanksgiving, all the lunch will be filled up.
Your station. Do it.
Say thanks.
Weather.